This is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand.
And I'm Alex Chadwick. The Ford Motor Company's announcement this week that it's cutting up to 30,000 jobs was made by a Ford, William Clay Ford Jr., the great-grandson of Henry Ford. Bill Jr., as he's called, follows a series of non-Fords as senior manager. Now with a Ford back as CEO, here's NPR's Mike Pesca on how a family connection at the top may affect corporate performance.
Success has many fathers, failure, it seems, a grandson. Or so it was in the case of Seagram's, once the largest distilled spirits company in the world. Seagram's scion Edgar Bronfman Jr.'s decision to buy a Hollywood studio left the company in tatters and investors ready for a stiff drink. But successful family-owned businesses abound. Walmart, Mars M&M, Estee Lauder, Comcast. When Bill Ford Jr. took the helm of Ford Motor Company in 2001, he was seen by many on Wall Street as a savior.
And, you know, you got to remember, too, the guy's got skin in the game.
Russ Banham is the author of several books on business, including The Ford Century and Coors, a Rocky Mountain legend, about another famous family-controlled business.
In the family companies that I've covered, these were very serious individuals who took their responsibilities very seriously. This was their family name, and it meant quite a bit to them.
Craig Aronoff, co-founder and principal of the Family Business Consulting Group, says that the Ford leadership of the Ford company is an asset in the eyes of creditors.
GM is on the S&P bankruptcy watch list, but Ford is not. And a big reason that Ford is not is because S&P doesn't believe that its family owners would allow the company to go into bankruptcy.
The Ford family doesn't just run the company in the person of Bill Jr. They own enough stock shares to make them a large, though not controlling, interest. Some companies, like Johnson & Johnson, have outside managers but own most of their voting stock. Wall Street sometimes punishes this arrangement. John H. Tyson, the third-generation chairman of Tyson Foods, controls 80% of the voting shares, a situation which has been assailed by investors trying to unlock value. The University of Pennsylvania's Wharton School professor Rafi Amit, along with Harvard Business School co-author Belen Villalonga, published a paper titled, How Does Family Ownership, Control, and Management Affect Firm Value? Here's Professor Villalonga with the answer.
When the founder is around, either as the CEO or as the chairman of the board, what we find is that family firms outperform non-family firms. However, when it's a second generation or a later generation, but particularly more so the second, there's actually a negative impact in the sense that the family companies that are run by descendants are actually underperforming non-family firms.
Professor Amit says that third or fourth generations begin to add value that their fathers and grandfathers destroyed. He hypothesizes that the reason the immediate successors tend to lose value is that the hiring pool needs to be larger than the gene pool. Author Russ Banham sees that exact phenomenon with Ford and Coors.
I don't know if Henry Ford's son, Edsel Ford, who died quite young, had it in him to be an effective corporate leader. I don't think his personality allowed for that. I think Henry Ford knew that, which is why he resisted turning the company over to his son. I think at Coors, Adolf Coors Jr., I describe him in my book, he was kind of aloof and remote. His son, I don't think, was as effective a leader. Adolf Coors III. But Bill Coors and his brother Joe were great leaders. I mean, they're the ones who made the company a national institution, if you will.
For a couple of years, Ford has been trying to convince consumers there's a Ford in your future. As for the company itself, there's definitely a Ford at the top, and he swears Ford has a future. Mike Pesca, NPR News, New York.